back. All kinds of things flooding across my desk all the time. Let me see here. I finally got it. It's a PDF. I'm going to put this up. It's a Russian study from 1999, 22 years ago. You wouldn't know anything about this, would you, Erica? A comparative
yes, I would.
Study. Erica knows all. A comparative study of effects of, I'm going to skip ahead, ivermectin on apoptosis of rat thymocytes induced by radiation and dexamethasone. Now, apoptosis is cell death induced by radiation and dexamethasone. Tell us why this isn't. This is a study of ivermectin on cell death in rat thymocytes. What's the deal with this study?
Well, I think most people know by now that ivermectin seems to be the agent of choice when dealing with whatever this COVID thing is. And the controllers have done everything in their power to either try to discredit it or prevent people from having access to it. So you've got to wonder why. And doctors Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey published a study earlier this year showing incontrovertible proof of its efficacy in both preventing the infection of so-called SARS-CoV-2 and treating the disease once it had taken hold. And they cited a study that was conducted, I believe it was Argentina, where they had 800 healthcare workers who were in contact with sick people, presumably with COVID. And they all got a weekly dose of ivermectin as a prophylactic or preventative, and none of them came down with COVID. On the other hand, the placebo group, consisted of 400 healthcare workers in a similar situation, did not get the benefit of ivermectin prophylactically, and I think it was 57% of them at some point became infected with COVID. So there's compelling evidence that this is extremely effective, both prophylactically and as a treatment. However, the controllers do not want us to have it. And it's since been determined that, I mean, this was initially a veterinary antiparasitic. So why does it work so well with a viral illness?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the research is coming out that there are at least 22 different mechanisms of action, 7 or 8 of which are antiviral. Now, what the other ones are, maybe it's anti-radiation. It prevents the apoptosis of cells that, you know, might otherwise die if they're not protected. We can only speculate. Certainly that information is out there if people want to dig it up. But I came across this Russian study. There's a class of drugs. It's not just ivermectin. There's other drugs in that same class that work a little bit better against radiation, but ivermectin is somewhat protective in preventing cell death from radiation. Specifically, in this study, it mentioned the thymocytes, which are the cells from your thymus. That's a big portion of your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can protect your thymocytes from dying, you will retain some immunity.
And they're saying now, forgive the use of they, but people are saying more and more that the vax does destroy the immune system. It disables it, at the very least.
Yeah, in probably a variety of ways, not just one.
That brings up another point. This whole genocidal program, depopulation genocide, is very sophisticated. It's not, they're going to give everybody kind of a hidden dose of strychnine or something. This is really insidiously complex. It has been put together by people who are either geniuses and they know this business, or they've had some help, off-planet help. I don't know. I don't rule anything out anymore. But this, the more that we seem to look, and I'm, Eric is the scientist, but the more that I look into this, just as a layperson, the more I see incredible action, interaction, reaction, long-term, short-term. I mean, this thing has been thought out. Maybe by computers with AI, I don't know. But it's really a very complex bioweapon that has been turned loose on us. And I think
the first step in carrying this out with any degree of success is to get the general public, as Anthony Patch had described in 2014, to demand a vaccine.
It's one of the greatest tricks ever. Yeah.
And that just sets the stage. You know, if people are willing to take an injection, they don't even know what's in the needle. They're just taking it on blind faith that they're going to be protected from a so-called virus that might not actually be a virus. That's half the job right there.
At least, yeah. No, they made it a piece of cake. Anthony Patch. Anthony, how should we play Anthony Patch again here?
Sure.
I think that would be really worth
it,
a listen.
It was amazingly prescient, given the fact that it was 7 years ago now.
He's not a psychic. He knew. He knew what was coming. How? I don't know. But, all right. Here's Anthony Patch. This is only 6 or 7 minutes long, something like that. But pay attention. What year was this? Do you remember, Erica, when this came
2014?
Out? Okay, I think you're right. So 7 years. All right, here we go. Anthony Patch. Oops, it's not quite loaded yet. I'm getting the BitChute slow load. This also mentions third strand DNA a little bit, deadly flu shots and things. But the bottom line is somehow he figured out how this would play in people's minds. And I don't know how he did it, unless he knew people and was told. And he's not a doctor. What was his background again? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I think this is something that he's been involved in for a while, just you know, watching how the world works, so to speak. And probably had some intuition or insights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is all very predictable once you figure out the game.
Where are we? While this is loading, where are we in figuring out the game?
We're not in a good place.
No. It's like next week we could have something else. We do know that it does appear that the spike protein is it for right now still, and graphene oxide. How they work together, if they work together, I don't know. Do you have any guess on that? Do they work together, or are they just two different components in this very sophisticated attack?
I think they could be working together because graphene has a high affinity for adsorbing proteins.
Ah.
And so it may be a situation where once the spike protein is produced, if there's graphene in circulation, then it'll pick the graphene up and drag it wherever it goes around the body, including the brain.
Wow. Also, I want all of you to look in guests. Look under Erica's name. There's a bottom link there. I hope it's there. In fact, I'm going to make doubly sure before I send you over to take a look. But it's this young girl had gotten a shot several days ago, and let me see if I can play this. You're going to see something that is horrific. She's saying, look at this on my face. There's a little, looks like a brown mark. And I think on her shoulder, she says she has them on her legs. And then she says, wait till you see what's in my mouth. And it's, here, let's take a listen. This is real short.
I have like busted blood vessels all over my body. There's some here. And I have them.
She thinks they're busted blood vessels. She's right, but that's not quite the terminology, but it's close.
All my arms and my legs, and then wait till you see the inside of my mouth. It's nasty.
She's showing what's on the inside of her cheek, and it's about a half by 1 inch blood clot.
There's
on
like
one
four
side.
On this side, and then on this side.
She's got four on one side. There's one on her tongue. These are big clots.
On that one. So I saw two doctors and an NP this morning, and they have no idea what's going on, so they sent me to a specialist, and they deemed it urgent. So I'm here at the specialist now, just waiting for them to come see me.
And I rather doubt that the specialist would offer much encouragement, and I also suspect that these clots are on the outside of her skin, they're inside her mouth and her oral mucosa. These are big. It would be fair to assume that they're inside her body, maybe even her brain as well.
Definitely.
Erica, on that,
yeah.
You think?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. There's another one. So if any of you end up with who are vaccinated and you get what looks like a broken blood vessel bruise kind of a thing.
Yeah,
that's
that
one
can morph
thing.
Into something, you know, much, much more serious. So I don't know what they're doing for these people, though. You know, there's so many of them.
What would they do with a blood clot like that? They'd have to surgically try to remove it and then cauterize it, I would think. That, isn't that a clot? That's a big clot. It's blood backed up from being unable to move forward in a capillary.
Yeah, the blood isn't flowing right. So I don't know how they're handling that. I honestly don't.
No,
you know, the scarier ones are, I heard an incident of a woman that developed chest pains and trouble breathing in the days after she got the vaccine, and she went to the ER, and I believe they sent her home the first day. They just said, go home and rest, you'll be fine the next day. Well, she wasn't. Things continued to get worse, and went back to the hospital, and they determined that she had pericarditis. And didn't do anything for her, just sent her home and told her to rest.
She's resting now, isn't she? The big sleep. Isn't that the one?
I mean, it did devolve. I mean, she did, you know, continue to worsen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly there was some heart damage happening. It's just appalling.
There's another one, a 57-year-old woman in West Virginia. She said, I'm vaccinated, but I don't know what's in it. Well, less than 24 hours later, she was doing the big sleep, too. Gone.
Oh, and she was attempting to shame other people, you know, the holdouts, the anti-vaxxers, that, you know, you should be getting yours, too. If I can do it, you should do it.
Well, all right. There we go. All right, let's go listen to Anthony Patch for a few minutes. Now, remember, this is 7 years ago.
So this next clip speaks to deadly flu shots and third strand DNA. And on my website, I have a page dedicated to the Mark of the Beast and third strand DNA.
That is not Anthony Patch. It's somebody introducing it.
Which speaks to the programmable matter and the chromosomes of a man, DNA, etc. But I want to play this clip to you. It's telling you something very, very, very important. And I'll be back after this clip.
Flu shots, deadly vaccinations.
Well, we've all heard of the bird flu, and we've heard of tuberculosis, and we've heard of flesh-eating diseases, and there's a number of things that have been going around in the media the last few years, including AIDS, which is still there, and now we have even, strange as it sounds, we have a rise to almost an epidemic level now of rabies, which we typically associate with animals. But when it crosses to the human barrier, to the barrier between animal and human crosses that barrier into the human, there is no treatment. There is no cure for rabies. Now, you may not have heard this. This is not necessarily new, but it's coming to the forefront.
You know what this makes me think of?
What's that?
The zombie apocalypse.
Absolutely. And that is the context in which the mainstream media right now is placing it, is in the zombie apocalypse. Because that's exactly how people present themselves, if you will. I'm speaking medically, but that's how they appear and how they behave. It's like a zombie because of the effects of rabies on the nervous system. There were, last year and even earlier this year, there were actually drills conducted by our government on the zombie apocalypse and how would, you know, first responders, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, how would they deal with these people? So it sounds far-fetched to the average person who hasn't heard this before, but this is nothing new. But let's go beyond the rabies. Let's talk about people getting a flu shot or getting a, you know, avian flu inoculation.
Any flu shot. And remember, last year's flu shots might have been a precursor to this tremendous push for vaccine genocide. I don't know. I wouldn't put anything past these people.
There is another very insidious disease, if you will, which is really a man-made disease. It's a biological construct called MERS coronavirus out of the Middle East. It's the Middle East respiratory syndrome. It's made its way into Europe to a certain extent, and eventually, because of, you know, air travel, it will reach around the world. It's another example of where inoculations or vaccines are being derived, or they're trying to derive for. That, again, I always like to go all the way to the end. What's the purpose? What's the goal? If you have a man-made or engineered virus, why was it created? Is it simply just to kill people? Well, that's one part of it. But if you go further and you go deeper than that, it is to get people to demand a vaccine, a shot, if you will, or a pill. Why would, if you're in a position of control and of power, of ultimate power, why would you want people to demand a vaccine? Well, it's because something's in the vaccine that you want people to then have as a part of their body. Well, what is in the vaccine that you want everybody to have inside their body? It is a DNA manipulator or modifier. I mentioned earlier, third strand.
Gene therapy.
DNA. There is already, and you can find this on the internet, in existence, a third strand of DNA constructed of silicon. Again, we go back to the silicon chip in computers. The third strand is made of silicon and is also coated in gold. If you talk about nanotechnology and nano layers. This is extremely thin coating of gold down to a billionth of a millimeter of gold that is coating the silicon from which you are building a third strand of DNA. The purpose of the gold is to increase the surface area around the strand so that more information can be digitally imparted or programmed. And essentially what you're doing is you're creating a third strand of DNA. You are transferring that or imparting it into a person's body through a vaccine that that person's demanding because they're afraid of contracting MERS coronavirus or avian flu or whatever it may be. And so the government, if you will, or the powers that be sit back and they kind of chuckle and they say, well, we couldn't have forced people to take this vaccine or to take this hidden third strand of DNA. They would rebel against it. But if we create the problem and present the solution, people will demand a solution. Thus, we achieve our ultimate goal of having this DNA in every person changed. Well, let's go deeper. What's the goal? What's the purpose? Yeah, you go around and change everybody's DNA. What do they become? They become a hybrid. The insidious part of this is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence.
Hey, I'm going to play that again. This is really critically important. The moment the injection happens,
he undergoes transformation.
Oops, I got a little bit further back. All right.
Is injected. Almost immediately, their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately, they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence.
Erica, how can this be? How can this be? This is 7 years ago. And he knew this. Almost immediately, they lose their feeling of independence.
Yeah.
I'm, this is just, to me, it's appalling. And this is just within a second or two of getting injected. You no longer...
Well, that is the potential of this nanotechnology. It goes right down to the level of the DNA, which is... Yeah, you know, who you are. And it does it fast.
Almost instantly.
Ability to think online.
Yeah, I got it. Now, this is critical. He said the ability to think on your own is literally gone the moment you get injected with a gene therapy coronavirus vaccine. Remember, he's talking about MERS, SARS, MERS. Now listen again very carefully.
Once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence. Their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own, and to affect them on a moral level, their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness that you've lost your independence is gone, what then do the powers that be do with these new forms of humans, hybrids? They can control them. They can turn them into a surf class. Not S-U-R-F, not surfers, but S-E-R-F, a class of slaves to serve the elite, to serve the Ray Kurzweils of the world who want to achieve immortality, but they need to have labor to manufacture, develop all of the technologies. And they have enough technologies now. The technology, the scientific world, if you will, has reached the level where they don't care about hiding it anymore. Their agenda is so far advanced, both politically, philosophically, their sense of morals, and technologically, that no longer are they worried about you and me as the surf class and the coming surf class. They're not worried about what we think. They're not worried about us rebelling. And in fact, we won't rebel, partly because right now we've been so dumbed down through a variety of mechanisms. But once people demand the virus and they truly are dumbed down...
He meant to say vaccine. Once people demand the vaccine.
To where they've lost that awareness that something's happened to me? Now they can do what they want with us. They are achieving what I call the hive mentality, like a beehive. worker bees, soldier bees, serving the queen. The queen, in my estimation, is this elite class that's in power. And it's not the politicians. Forget the politicians. This has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats, Tea Party, libertarians. It has nothing to do with political structure or classes. It has to do with the small group that is in control and has been in control since ancient times.
Okay, big lesson in that very few minutes. Just really extraordinary.
It's happening.
They have control, and I'm not suggesting anyone give up. I'm just suggesting you understand and know your enemy. You have to. You have to know your adversary. Otherwise, you have no chance. Just understand what they're doing and try to look at it from their perspective. They own us. And whatever's
in
this...
That's what this is all about.
Yes. And whatever is in this vax takes people out of themselves. Their former selves are changed forever. That's why I get endless stories about, well, gee, my mom's never been the same since she doesn't even sound the same. She doesn't talk the same. Or my best friend is always this or always that and upset, unhappy, aggressive. People are not the same after this stuff. That's why I say over and over again, it's incredibly sophisticated. It's not just like the old-fashioned attenuated virus vaccine. No, this is really evil stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is the technology that they use to create genetically modified organisms. And you know, when you roll up your sleeve and you accept that needle, that's what's happening.
You're gone.
There's nothing temporary about this.
No, and I guess we should drop in here. If anyone tells you, take this supplement or that supplement and it'll reverse this gene-altering vaccine, they're not telling you the truth, or they don't know. You can do things that can certainly potentially slow down, maybe, the replication of spike proteins. Maybe.
If that's what it is.
If that's what it, good. Exactly. So I don't have the answer. I wish I did. I wish I did. This is really not looking very promising right now. And I don't want anyone to quit. We'll never quit. But we have to be aware of what we're up against, as I've said before. Have to.
You know, particularly if there's any, man, there does seem to be a potential for contagion. Whatever this stuff is, seems to be in some cases transmissible to other people.
Well, that's the bystander thing again, right?
Yeah. So I, you know, whatever's in there may be leaving. I mean, we know it does. They do leave in the form of exosomes at the very least. There may be proteins being transmitted along with genetic material. And now you put these pernicious EMFs into the picture, and the EMFs weaken your cell membranes. So it makes your cells much, much more susceptible to transfection or just uptaking anything in the environment that's, you know, the cell doesn't want. But because the cell membranes have been weakened by these EMFs, there's more garbage going in than's coming out.
Right. All right. And I just want you to hear this again. We all of us don't remember things too well anymore. There are a lot of reasons for that. But I'm going to just play a little part of this again. And I just think it's that critical and it's that correct that we hear it one more time. Here we go.
This is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own, and to affect them on a moral level, their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness that you've lost your independence is gone, what then do the powers that be do with these new forms of humans, hybrids?
They turn them into slaves. Okay? So there it is. I just wanted you to hear that one more time.
There you go. I think it's happening.
Wow. So what do we do, scientist Erica? What do we do? What would you tell our dear friends out there? What do we do?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer.
This is an unprecedented moment in the history of Homo sapiens. We are faced with physical genocide, emotional genocide, intellectual genocide, the loss of all awareness that we are no longer independent. We are automatically put into a mode, a hive mode. All right? That's I think, maybe the most important lesson there. And it's a big lesson.
Well, for whatever reason, we've been chosen to be witnesses to this.
That's well said. For whatever reason. Front row seats. We all have it. And as far as reaching out to try to help people, oh, and I don't know what to tell you. When you have someone in your family you really love, you care about, you respect, and they've bought into it. And now we've got this issue of, I firmly believe that they're using mass mind control to try to further put the thought in people's minds that the vax is fine. You can go ahead and get it. Your life will be much better. You can go back to the way the thing was in the past. You can return to the old ways. No.
Yeah, it's looking like the hive mentality. It's taking root.
Exactly right.
That singularity.
That's it.
Merging with AI.
Well, all right. What else do we need to talk about here?
Got
other things on the menu, and that has to do with general. I guess I was going to mention diet. We think it's in the food. We think the water has possibly been contaminated. Could be in Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, any of the major popular drinks. I'm talking about graphene oxide. It could be anywhere. So what
do
we do?
I would also be cognizant of all these other metals, the iron oxide, you know, silver nanoparticles. I know many people are a fan of taking silver for its antibacterial effects, but that I have some reservations about taking nano silver. Because of everything else nano that's going into people right now. I mean, this is not something that you can kill. This is synthetic biology. It's, mm-hmm. you know, self-replicating, in some cases, RNA. It's self-organizing nanoparticulate and adding something like nanosilver. I wouldn't touch it.
Okay, good. That's good advice. It doesn't mean nanosilver doesn't work. It means that now may not be the time.
I think it's the wrong agent to use. It works because it produces free radicals. But it's also, you know, it's a metal and it's conductive.
And it's also very small.
Yes. So if you've got nano poisoning, that's probably not something you want to add to the mix.
I just want to say these
nanoparticles do not obey the normal laws of physics. Nanoparticles are so small that they have what's called a wave-particle duality. In other words, they have physical attributes, but they also have frequencies that are associated with them. And they're very, very disruptive when they get into cells. I mean, your cells are dependent on a certain order and flow of electrons and signaling molecules, and then these things can interrupt that and cause distortions and static, impedance, interference.
So how can a cell function? as it's supposed to.
A lot of times it doesn't.
No, not with that kind of interference.
It turns the cell acidic, so the cell doesn't have oxygen, so the mitochondria don't work, the cell membranes become depolarized. It's not a good thing, and no doctor knows how to deal with this.
Oh, they don't know. You out there listening know more than your doctor right now, just from this one program. I'm not talking about across the board A to Z medicine. I'm talking about this particular issue. You know more than your doctor knows. They don't, unless you find the one in a million, they don't know.
No, they're taught to manage symptoms, either prescribe a drug or do a procedure, but not to really cure anything.
No, there's no money in curing anything. There's money in treating it, lots of money.
Yep.
That's the game. All right, there's another thing. Go ahead.
A preprint came out, I think it was last week, regarding a treatment now for some of the vaccine damaged. And this pertains to people who have developed autoantibodies to either the actual infection, spike protein, or the vaccine. So they're already capitalizing on people suffering having taken this shot by trying to deal with the autoimmune issues that are cropping up.
See? How long ago did I say this? Long ago. They're going to make countless, uncountable hundreds of billions of dollars treating all the people who now will probably be wide open to any number of catastrophic illnesses and diseases and conditions. They will make a fortune. This is so evil.
Remember the tender that was put out in the UK for the supply of anti-clotting drugs for the next 3 years? It was a couple billion pounds?
Something like that. It was a lot.
So all these people that are going to be prone to blood clots, if they live, will be, Big Pharma's next customer.
More rumors coming out of Australia that those 24,000 children who were in that sports pavilion or whatever it was, that quite a few of them died. They did sacrifice. I view it as a sacrifice. And I've got to go back and take a look at that again. It's inhuman. It's inhuman is what's going on. It's subhuman. It's extra human. I don't like outside of. I don't know. It's crazy. The Victoria Premier has extended the total lockdown there again, as I said earlier, and the police have been granted power to covertly hack all citizen telephones and alter the data on them. Cops. How far can they push people? I guess they're finding out.
Unreal.
All right, there's another video that's going up in headlines. It's already up there, but it's been edited now, and it's Dr. Charles Hoff, Canadian family doctor. Extraordinary conversation. It's 41 minutes worth every moment of your time. We're going to play just a few minutes of it to give you an idea of how forthright this man is. He's a whistleblower, and he has it down. His name is Hoff, H-O-F-F-E, Charles Hoff, and you'll be able to find him. The title of the story is Dr. Charles Hoff Explains Vax Horror and What Happened to Him for Speaking Out. This is essential information. Watch. So let's listen to a few minutes of this very brave man, very articulate man, too. I really admire his speaking skills. I'm just going to jump in to a place.
Were told that this was going to protect them from COVID. I mean, most of the...
Yeah, back it up.
Be limited.
All right.
But we should be seeing some improvement. So so I believe these people are permanently disabled. This is back in January. They were mostly offering it to elderly people.
But the youngest of my patients, so they were not offering it to young people. Well, the youngest of my patients who is seriously disabled from it is 38 years old. And she is no longer able to drive a car. She has not been able to work since her shot in January of this year. That's about now 8 months ago. She has now developed bilateral Bell's palsies, you know, which, so her disabilities have continued to evolve, and she's developed more and more problems as time goes on. Rather than getting better, she is getting worse. Otherwise completely healthy. She had absolutely nothing wrong with her before this. They were told that this was safe. They were told that this was going to protect them from COVID. I mean, most of these people were told that COVID is a very dangerous disease. Now, it is if you're about 90 years old. You know, in Canada, the average age of people who die from COVID is 83 years old, is average. So for young people, this is really not a serious risk. So for a completely healthy 38-year-old to be having this vaccine made absolutely no sense. So they were not being told the risks, they were not being told the benefits, and they were not being told the alternatives. Because those are the three pillars of informed consent, which is informed consent is a legal requirement for every medical procedure. And there's three aspects to it. The first is they need to be told the benefits, and you know, all they were told is, well, we don't know what variants this will cover, and we don't know how long it's going to protect you, and we don't, yeah, so they, we didn't know what the benefits were because it's an experiment. We didn't know what the risks were because this technology had never been tried on human beings before this pandemic. They had done no animal trials on it, which are normally by law, they have to do animal trials in developing new vaccines. They had not done that. And of course, we did not know what the long-term side effects were. So they didn't know what the benefits were. They didn't know what the risks were. And of course, they were not telling them what the alternatives were. They were telling them there was no alternative. And they were using fear to coerce people into accepting this experiment. And that is a complete failure of medical ethics to not have informed consent. It is a serious ethical problem. It is a legal requirement. So to be, you know, I have spoken to so many people who have gone and got a COVID shot and said to them, you know, what did they explain to you before they gave this to us? And they say, all they say is, well, they just asked if I had any questions. That's it. I mean, can you imagine if you were going for a heart transplant and the surgeon did not explain to you the risks, the benefits, or the alternatives? If all they said is, well, do you have any questions? I mean, most people don't even know what the questions are. So how are they going to ask them? I mean, they're not medically trained. It's the responsibility of the medical profession to hold to these ethics. The community out there aren't expected to know these things. That's the job of the doctor. So the drastic turns, I should say, but before we go into this, after I started asking these embarrassing questions, the medical authorities were absolutely determined to find something to shut me down. And so they were looking to find fault with me. And so... after they had told me I was not allowed to say anything negative about the vaccine in our health facility, they were desperate to find something that I would say that they could pin me on. So on one occasion, we had a patient who came into the emergency room who had had a bad reaction to the COVID shot. Now, this person had also had a natural COVID infection about 6 weeks before. And her only symptom with the COVID infection was that she had loss of appetite for 10 days. That was literally her only symptom. So when she had this COVID shot, she was very sick. She had headache and dizziness and fevers, and she felt awful. And so she thought, well, something is wrong. Why does this vaccine make me more sick than COVID? So she came into the emergency room to question what she should be doing and what's going on. So I was, it was actually a Saturday evening. I was at home with friends having dinner, and the nurse from the emergency room phoned me because I was the doctor on call. And so I said to the nurse, please, will you explain to this patient that if she has had a natural COVID infection, she is immune to COVID and she does not need her second shot. There is no benefit from this vaccine. Only gives you antibodies against one protein in a COVID virus. A natural immunity recognizes the entire virus. It gives you a very comprehensive immunity because it is not just based on a tiny fragment of that virus. And that's why these vaccines are so useless, because if that one protein that you have antibodies to changes, the vaccine is useless. Your immune system will no longer recognize it, and you'll have to get a booster and another booster, and it'll be on and on. So anyway, I explained to this nurse the medical reasoning and evidence for why a person who has had a natural infection will not have any benefit from a vaccine. And on the basis of me telling the nurse that, I was fired from my job as an emergency physician, which meant not only that I lost my job at that health facility. As a doctor, once you have a disciplinary action against you, you cannot work anywhere. You're done for. You are blacklisted. It seriously affected my income. But fortunately, I didn't lose my medical license. I just could not work as an emergency room doctor. I could just work in my private practice.
Okay. So Dr. Charles Hoff, they really rake this guy over for simply speaking the truth. When you heard him talk about that one protein, if that one protein changes and your immune system has been targeting only that one protein and trained to target that one, he was talking about the spike protein. So how would that be, Erica, if they, when they built this spike protein, built in something that over a period of time would cause the spike protein to change its coat, shall we say, so the immune system no longer was targeted on it?
Well, I mean, if it's your body that's producing the protein, I'm not sure why that would change.
Right.
I mean, assuming that this is something in circulation that you're being exposed to. I mean, the whole platform of these protein based vaccines, it's ludicrous.
They're coming.
So every time there's a new strain, we're going to inject more genetic material to produce a different type of protein, while you still may be producing the original protein because you can't get rid of the genetic code for it. So your body's being flooded with these foreign proteins of all kinds. Every time there's a new variant, we're going to have a new protein. This is absurd.
Well, think about this. The booster shot is also going to be a gene-altering concoction. God only knows what that could do to your already changed.
Exactly. So how many genetic changes do you think you can endure before you've totally destroyed your genetic expression,
your
genetic
zombie
regulation?
Every 4 months, a booster. Yeah.
Well, and this year's flu vaccine, the one that Moderna is proposing, I believe, is also an mRNA vaccine.
Uh-oh.
So you're going to have all manner of foreign proteins being produced in your body and hoping your immune system can deal with that?
Okay, there you go. All right, I hope the information was helpful. Do share it, and don't give up hope. Don't give up the fight. We still have a chance here. That is in survival. Prepare and beware. We'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks, Erica, very much, as always.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Good night, all. Talk tomorrow, 21 hours.